The year ahead. Organizational Health Diagnostic Scheme, OHDS. Following the completion of the OHFSS assessment, SAVH plans to participate in the Organizational Health Diagnostic Scheme, OHDS, in the coming year with support from the National Council of Social Service, NCSS. The OHDS is designed to provide a deeper and more comprehensive assessment of organizational health and will help SAVH identify key organizational strengths, development opportunities, and capability-building priorities. Through stakeholder engagement, employee surveys, leadership interviews, focus group discussions, and organizational reviews, the exercise is expected to provide a holistic understanding of SAVH's current state and future needs. The outcomes of the OHDS are expected to support SAVH's long-term strategic planning and organizational development efforts. The consultancy is intended to assist SAVH in developing a structured roadmap to strengthen organizational capabilities, enhance leadership and talent development, improve operational effectiveness, support digital transformation initiatives, and ensure the organization remains sustainable and responsive to the evolving needs of persons with visual impairment. Through this initiative, SAVH aims to build a stronger and more future-ready organization that can continue delivering high-quality services and creating meaningful impact for its beneficiaries and stakeholders. Strengthening governance and internal controls. As part of its commitment to good governance and continuous improvement, SAVH plans to undertake an independent internal audit in the coming year. The review will assess selected governance, compliance, and operational processes to provide assurance on the effectiveness of existing controls and identify opportunities to strengthen organizational practices. Areas to be reviewed include governance processes, compliance with the Constitution, governance evaluation checklist, conflict of interest management, human resource practices, procurement procedures, and payment controls. The internal audit forms part of SAVH's broader efforts to strengthen accountability, transparency, and risk management across the organization. The findings and recommendations from the review will help the executive committee and management enhance policies, processes, and internal controls where necessary, while ensuring that SAVH continues to uphold high standards of governance and stewardship. Through this initiative, SAVH seeks to further strengthen stakeholder confidence and support the sustainable delivery of services to persons with visual impairment. Governance renewal and leadership sustainability. Like many charities in Singapore, SAVH faces increasing challenges in attracting and retaining volunteers willing to serve in governance and leadership roles. The organization's current registered society structure requires a relatively large number of office bearers and executive committee members, which has made succession planning increasingly challenging in recent years. SAVH recognizes that maintaining a strong pipeline of future leaders is essential to ensuring organizational continuity, effective governance, and the long-term sustainability of services for persons with visual impairment. To address these challenges, SAVH will continue to review its governance structure and leadership renewal processes. In particular, the organization is exploring a proposed conversion from a registered society to a company limited by guarantee, CLG. The proposed CLG structure is intended to strengthen governance, enhance organizational resilience, provide greater flexibility in board succession planning, and better protect the organization's assets and members. The CLG model would also enable a smaller and more sustainable board structure while maintaining strong representation of persons with visual impairment in leadership and decision-making. Governance Evaluation Checklist. SN Call for Action Code ID. Did the charity put this principle into action? 1. Clearly state the charitable purposes, for example, vision and mission, objectives, use of resources, activities, and so on, and include the objectives in the charity's governing instrument. Publish the stated charitable purposes on platforms, for example, charity portal, website, social media channels, and so on, that can be easily accessed by the public. 1.1 Yes. 2. Develop and implement strategic plans to achieve the stated charitable purposes. 1.2 Yes. 3. Have the board review the charity's strategic plans regularly to ensure that the charity is achieving its charitable purposes, and monitor, evaluate and report the outcome and impact of its activities. 1.3 Yes. 4. Document the plan for building the capacity and capability of the charity and ensure that the board monitors the progress of this plan. Capacity refers to a charity's infrastructure and operational resources, while capability refers to its expertise, skills, and knowledge. 1.4 Yes. Principle 2. The charity has an effective board and management. 5. The board and management are collectively responsible for achieving the charity's charitable purposes. The roles and responsibilities of the board and management should be clear and distinct. 2.1 Yes. 6. The board and management should be inducted and undergo training, where necessary, and their performance reviewed regularly to ensure their effectiveness. 2.2 Yes. 7. Document the terms of reference for the board and each of its committees. The board should have committees, or designate board member, S, to oversee the following areas, where relevant to the charity. A. Audit. B. Finance. Other areas include programs and services, fundraising, appointment/nomination, human resource, and investment. 2.3 Yes. 8. Ensure the board is diverse and of an appropriate size, and has a good mix of skills, knowledge, and experience. All board members should exercise independent judgment and act in the best interest of the charity. 2.4 Yes. 9. Develop proper processes for leadership renewal. This includes establishing a term limit for each board member. All board members must submit themselves for renomination and reappointment, at least once every 3 years. 2.5 Yes. 10. Develop proper processes for leadership renewal. This includes establishing a term limit for the treasurer, or equivalent position. For treasurer, or equivalent position, only. A. The maximum term limit for the treasurer, or equivalent position like a finance committee chairman, or key person on the board responsible for overseeing the finances of the charity, should be 4 consecutive years. If there is no board member who oversee the finances, the chairman will take on the role. I. After meeting the maximum term limit for the treasurer, a board member's reappointment to the position of treasurer, or an equivalent position may be considered after at least a 2-year break. 2. Should the treasurer leave the position for less than 2 years, and when he/she is being reappointed, the treasurer's years of service would continue from the time he/she stepped down as treasurer. 2.6 Yes. 11. Ensure the board has suitable qualifications and experience, understands its duties clearly, and performs well. A. No staff should chair the board and staff should not comprise more than 1/3 of the board. 2.7 Yes. 12. Ensure the management has suitable qualifications and experience, understands its duties clearly, and performs well. A. Staff must provide the board with complete and timely information and should not vote or participate in the board's decision-making. 2.8 Yes. 13. The term limit for all board members should be set at 10 consecutive years or less. Reappointment to the board can be considered after at least a 2-year break. For all board members. A. Should the board member leave the board for less than 2 years, and when he/she is being reappointed, the board member's years of service would continue from the time he/she left the board. B. Should the charity consider it necessary to retain a particular board member, with or without office bearer's positions, beyond the maximum term limit of 10 consecutive years, the extension should be deliberated and approved at the general meeting where the board member is being reappointed or re-elected to serve for the charity's term of service. For example, a charity with a 2-year term of service would conduct its election once every 2 years at its general meeting. C. The charity should disclose the reasons for retaining any board member who has served on the board for more than 10 consecutive years, as well as its succession plan, in its annual report. 2.9a 2.9b 2.9c Yes. 14. For treasurer, or equivalent position, only. D. A board member holding the treasurer position, or equivalent position like a finance committee chairman or key person on the board responsible for overseeing the finances of the charity, must step down from the treasurer or equivalent position after a maximum of 4 consecutive years. I. The board member may continue to serve in other positions on the board, except the assistant treasurer position or equivalent, not beyond the overall term limit of 10 consecutive years, unless the extension was deliberated and approved at the general meeting. Refer to 2.9.b 2.9d. Yes. 15. Conduct appropriate background checks on the members of the board and management to ensure they are suited to work at the charity. 3.1. Yes. 16. Document the processes for the board and management to declare actual or potential conflicts of interest, and the measures to deal with these conflicts of interest when they arise. A board member with a conflict of interest in the matter, s, discussed should recuse himself/herself from the meeting and should not vote or take part in the decision-making during the meeting. 3.2. Yes. 17. Ensure that no board member is involved in setting his/her own remuneration directly or indirectly. 3.3. Yes. 18. Ensure that no staff is involved in setting his/her own remuneration directly or indirectly. 3.3. Yes. 19. Establish a code of conduct that reflects the charity's values and ethics and ensure that the code of conduct is applied appropriately. 3.4. Yes. 20. Take into consideration the ESG factors when conducting the charity's activities. 3.5. Yes. 21. Implement and regularly review key policies and procedures to ensure that they continue to support the charity's objectives. A. Ensure the board approves the annual budget for the charity's plans and regularly reviews and monitors its income and expenditures, for example, financial assistance, matching grants, donations by board members to the charity, funding, staff costs and so on. 4.1. A yes. 22. Implement and regularly review key policies and procedures to ensure that they continue to support the charity's objectives. B. Implement appropriate internal controls to manage and monitor the charity's funds and resources. This includes key processes such as I. Revenue and receipting policies and procedures. 2. Procurement and payment policies and procedures, and 3. System for the delegation of authority and limits of approval. 4.1b. Yes. 23. Seek the board's approval for any loans, donations, grants, or financial assistance provided by the charity which are not part of the core charitable programs listed in its policy. For example, loans to employees/subsidiaries, grants, or financial assistance to business entities. 4.2. Yes. 24. Regularly identify and review the key risks that the charity is exposed to and refer to the charity's processes to manage these risks. 4.3. Yes. 25. Set internal policies for the charity on the following areas and regularly review them. A. Anti-money laundering and countering the financing of terrorism, AML/CFT. B. Board strategies, functions, and responsibilities. C. Employment practices. D. Volunteer management. E. Finances. F. Information technology, IT, including data privacy management and cybersecurity. G. Investment, obtain advice from qualified professional advisors if this is deemed necessary by the board. H. Service or quality standards, and I. Other key areas such as fundraising and data protection. 4.4. Yes. 26. The charity's audit committee or equivalent should be confident that the charity's operational policies and procedures, including IT processes, are effective in managing the key risks of the charity. 4.5. Yes. 27. The charity should also measure the impact of its activities, review external risk factors and their likelihood of occurrence, and respond to key risks for the sustainability of the charity. 4.6. Yes. 28. Disclose or submit the necessary documents, such as annual report, financial statements, GEC, and so on, in accordance with the requirements of the Charities Act, its regulations, and other frameworks, for example, Charity Transparency Framework and so on. 5.1. Yes. 29. Generally, board members should not receive remuneration for their services to the board. Where the charity's governing instrument expressly permits remuneration or benefits to the board members for their services, the charity should provide reasons for allowing remuneration or benefits and disclose in its annual report the exact remuneration and benefits received by each board member. 5.2. Yes. 30. The charity should disclose the following in its annual report: A. Number of board meetings in the year, and B. Each board member's attendance. 5.3. Yes. 31. The charity should disclose in its annual report the total annual remuneration, including any remuneration received in the charity's subsidiaries, for each of its three highest paid staff, who each receives remuneration exceeding $100,000, in incremental bands of $100,000. Should any of the three highest paid staff serve on the board of the charity, this should also be disclosed. If none of its staff receives more than $100,000 in annual remuneration each, the charity should disclose this fact. 5.4. Yes. 32. The charity should disclose in its annual report the number of paid staff who are close members of the family of the executive head or board members, and whose remuneration exceeds $50,000 during the year. The annual remuneration of such staff should be listed in incremental bands of $100,000. If none of its staff is a close member of the family of the executive head or board members and receives more than $50,000 in annual remuneration, the charity should disclose this fact. 5.5. Yes. 33. Implement clear reporting structures so that the board, management, and staff can access all relevant information, advice, and resources to conduct their roles effectively. A. Record relevant discussions, dissenting views, and decisions in the minutes of general and board meetings. Circulate the minutes of these meetings to the board as soon as practicable. 5.6. A yes. 34. Implement clear reporting structures so that the board, management, and staff can access all relevant information, advice, and resources to conduct their roles effectively. A. The board meetings should have an appropriate quorum of at least half of the board, if a quorum is not stated in the charity's governing instrument. 5.6b. Yes. 35. Implement a whistleblowing policy for any person to raise concerns about possible wrongdoings within the charity and ensure such concerns are independently investigated and follow-up action taken as appropriate. 5.7. Yes. Principle 6. The charity communicates actively to instill public confidence. 36. Develop and implement strategies for regular communication with the charity's stakeholders and the public. For example, focus on the charity's branding and overall message, raise awareness of its cause to maintain or increase public support, show appreciation to supporters, and so on. 6.1. Yes. 37. Listen to the views of the charity's stakeholders and the public and respond constructively. 6.2. Yes. 38. Implement a media communication policy to help the board and management build positive relationships with the media and the public. 6.3. Yes. Executive Committee meeting and attendance. Executive Committee meeting and attendance. Executive Committee meeting and attendance. A total of 7 ExCo meetings were held during the financial year from April 1, 2025 to March 31, 2026. The following sets out the individual ExCo members' attendance at the meetings. No name of 72nd ExCo member appointment during the term no of meeting attended. 1. John C. Tosun Mun President 7/7. 2. Lionel Lim Jun G Vice President 1/7. 3. William Koo Vice President 2/7. 4. Chia Chun Guan Honorary Secretary 7/7. 5. Michael Tan C. High ExCo Member 6/7. 6. Rajkumar S/Omuthukumar ExCo Member 4/5. 7. Lo So Kwan ExCo Member 6/7. 8. Lim Kwang Keet ExCo Member 2/2. 9. Mansur Ali ExCo Member 3/3. 10. Go Jun Han Honorary Treasurer 4/4. 11. Sharifan Afisa CO Opted ExCo 3/4. 12. Freddie Liu CO Opted ExCo 4/4. 13. Melissa Yeo CO Opted ExCo 1/1. No name of 71st ExCo member appointment during the term no of meeting attended. 14. Ali Bin Dud President 1/2. 15. Dr. Chan Choi Mun Vice President 2/2. 16. Yvonne Teo CO Opted ExCo 2/2. 17. John Vinch CO Opted ExCo 2/2. 18. Joshua Tseng ExCo Member 2/2. Asterisk denotes visually handicapped. Occupation: 1. Director, 2. Retired, 3. Finance Director.